Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Try Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost, built for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, incredible load times, and 24/7 WordPress priority support, your sites will be lightning fast with global reach. And with Bluehost Cloud, your sites can handle surges in traffic no matter how big. Plus, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. Get started now at Bluehost.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
You've been hoping to see the light. Your words of light keep holding on. 'Cause it's golden and he is calling you, calling you. You've chosen.
All right, everybody, I want to thank you all for joining us for another episode of the Servant Leader Coaches Bible Study. I am your host, Coach Chelsea, and I'm super excited to just join you all again just for another moment to grow in servant leadership, to grow in faith, and to grow in learning to lead and serve like Christ would ask us to. And what better way to do that than have the servant leader that I have on today with us? Y'all, we kind of go way back to, I say, Big Blue, right? Riding on the bus, girls on the left, boys on the right, going to those CIAA matchups. We have servant leader Landon Bussey with us today. He is the head men's basketball coach for Alcorn State University. And I'm super excited to just be able to catch up. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the amazing things that he's doing. But Landon, I thank you for your time, man. I tell people all this, time is that one thing in life that once it's given, we can't give it back. So I thank you for it. I know it's limited. And I'm going to pass the torch to you to say hello to our listeners. We'll get this conversation started today.
Of course, like you said, I'm Landon Bussey, head men's basketball coach of Alcorn State University. And it's an honor to just be on your podcast and grateful for the opportunity just to be here today.
I appreciate that so much. You know, like I, you know, said in the intro, you know, me and Landon both, we played for Livingstone College in the CIAA HBCU for a couple of years. He then transitioned out, but just the being able to grow in that aspect allowed me to learn about your foundation. And it's just so amazing when you see the foundation of someone and then watch just kind of how you're moving and just blooming now. And so I just want to take time to say I'm proud of you. I'm super proud of you. I know there's more coming down the pipeline. And so I just wanted to give you your flowers in that moment for that. But to start this conversation, I've always laughed. I tell people all the time, you know, my grandma used to always say, baby, you got to know Christ for yourself. And in this, of course, platform, we're talking about Christian and faith-based coaches. I want to talk a little about with you, your journey through finding Christ for yourself. You know, we may have learned through our parents, we may have learned through our grandparents, but when was that moment that you learned him for yourself and put him at the head of your life?
Just growing up, I grew up in the church where, you know, I was in the choir. I couldn't sing, but, you know, I was in the choir Sunday school with my mom. I think, you know, I was an usher, my brother usher, my sister, we was an usher. Then my mom cooked Sunday breakfast for all the kids. And, you know, just grew up in the household of going to church and going to Bible study. And then, of course, you know, there are some times in life where your faith gets tested. And then probably in my 20s, I probably wasn't as strong. Then eventually the older I got, you know, got back trying to get stronger. And every day by day, trying to get stronger and stronger in my belief in my faith. So I definitely grew up in a household and just, you know, household of going to church, you know, believing in God and everything like that. So definitely it always started for me since I was pretty much born. I grew up like that.
I laugh because I meet you where you are. I'm talking about ushering, the choir, right? Anytime the doors were open, usher anniversary. See, I went with my grandparents too. So we go and my mama would be like, okay, you got to go with your grandparents. And then it's like usher anniversary, 100 men in black and white, past the anniversary. I'd be like, oh my goodness, we were in church all Sunday. But one of the things I think you can agree is it truly did lay a foundation for us. Something
that absolutely.
We all go through it, right? We do. We get to a place where we drift, right? Because I hope we understand as a move, we do. But it's something about that foundation that allows us to come on back because we knew where from whence we've come.
Absolutely. I think that's what it is. Sometimes you do drift off. Sometimes you not do as much as you should be doing as far as continue to just get stronger in your faith. But then you always fall back into that foundation. And like I said, that same thing with basketball now. And the reason why I say that is, I mean, of course, sometimes you might get off path, might forget the type of program or the culture or the foundation that really got you to where you are right now. You drifting, now I want to get out of my zone a little bit. I want to be this certain type of player that I'm not. But then you got to reel these, you know, some of these student athletes back in. Like, this is what you built off of. This is what this program is built off of. And this is the only way that you could be successful in this program. So just the foundation that's being laid here, Alcorn, is what I'm trying to do.
I think that's so awesome. And you're doing that, right? I want to take time, guys. And, you know, many of us probably know it, those that are listening too. But, I mean, I want to transition here because when you stepped in, and came the head coach of Alcorn State, you took over a program that, you know, was struggling a little bit, right? And so sometimes I laugh because we know that when you decide to go into that coaching profession, right, there's ebbs and flows of a season. There's also jobs that when you take that job, you know, like, hey, I got to build this thing up. And sometimes people think it takes a little bit of time, and it does. But for you, man, it happened pretty quickly. So I want you to talk a little bit about, you know, just kind of when you took over the program, what was in your mind to kind of set the tone and what culture were you trying to build there that then, of course, you know, served its purpose because you were super successful. And we want to go ahead and congratulate you on the amazing season that you had and also being named Coach of the Year.
I think when I took over this program, me being in the SWAC, I think prior to being a head coach at Alcorn, I think I was in the SWAC for 5 or 6 years since 2014. So probably about 6 years. So my time at Prairie View, we won 2 regular season championships and we won 1 SWAC tournament championship. And I had the honor of recruiting some of them student athletes. So I started to identify the type of players that, you know, what it takes to be successful in the SWAC. So I would immediately, when I go recruiting, talking to the kid, talking to their family, just identifying the type of players that can help you be successful in the SWAC. And so when I was, you know, get the opportunity to be the head coach of Alcorn, you know, of course, coming in, It's a new coach, new style, new system. Just making that transition is pretty hard because, you know, when you're a leader, you cannot, there's no way possible you can make everybody happy. It's virtually impossible to make everybody happy. What I mean by all the student athletes, the administration, the fan base, the support system, you know, just alumni, it's no way possible. And that's a part of being a leader. You got to make tough decisions. And so me coming in the door, I knew I had to come in. I had to make some tough decisions. And that's just as far as if I was, you know, moving in a different direction from a, you know, student athlete, moving in a different direction from a coach, moving in a different direction just from different culture, if it's academic, belief, or whatever the case may be. So coming in, it was tough, you know, just coming in, trying to change the culture instantly. And so the only way I knew that was by just continue to stand on what I believe in, be strong what I believe in, and hopefully I have the support cast behind me to help me make the change in this culture.
I think that's awesome. I think you said some really big things there, right? Because see, in leadership, every person is not going to approve of your decisions. But I love how you said, you know, leaders, you have to understand that you're going to have to make the tough decisions. Because clearly the way that it was working, it's not a knock to anybody in that moment or that facet, but it wasn't working. So I have to make the tough decisions, and leaders have to do that. And I so often think about when God allows people to be in certain places, he knows how to equip you to get you ready. And when I think about when you took over the program, you didn't take over this program without the foresight. You didn't take over this program lightly. You did the work, you know, and as the word says, faith without works is dead. You did the work. And so it doesn't surprise me that when you actually took over, that the fruit of your labor is showing and manifesting itself. You know, you talk a lot about making tough decisions and standing by what you believe in. I want to know, being that you're a faith-based coach, how much of your discernment, how much do you lean on Christ and pray before you make these decisions as the head coach?
Oh, all the time. That's one of my biggest things is always, you know, sleep on it, pray on it before you make a decision. Because at the end of the day, the decision that I decide to make, I'm going to stand on that decision. So definitely want to sleep on it, definitely want to pray on it, and definitely want to do what, you know, what's in the best interest of the program and what's best interest as far as my belief. So when it comes down to that, it's just, you know, like I said, we talk about faith all the time. It's believing in something that you can't see. And so me personally, I vision, you know, this program moving in the right direction, but it was just something I believe, even though I couldn't see it. And when I came in, I was like, this is hard. This is harder than what it looks like, because changing a culture and get a team and the organization and the players and the coaches and administration to get their mind processing back to, okay, we have been in the middle of the pack for the last 20 years. You know, Alcorn haven't won a championship in 20 years. This is the first championship in 20 years. So now we got to change everybody's mindset into championship mindset. Mm-hmm. So coming in the door, it was a situation where I had to pray on a lot of different things. Do I want to keep this? Do I want to keep that? Do I want to try to make this adjustment? But anything I did first is always, I always prayed on it, always slept on it. And sometimes that could take days, that could take weeks until the Lord provides you and give you guidance in the right direction.
I think that's golden. And see, you stop, as my pastor would say, you stop by the pews of many, right? When we pray for things, and the hardest portion at that moment is when we pray now waiting, right? Mm-hmm. I was looking, I forget who said it, and it was something, a video I was looking at, he was like, you know, it's so funny, we'll order from Uber Eats, we'll order from DoorDash, we'll order Instacart, we'll do all these things, and then it says estimated time, XYZ. We don't question it. We don't send messages like, hey, when y'all coming, y'all need to hurry up. We wait on it. And then sometimes it'll say delayed, running behind, going to take a little bit more, new estimated time. We'll sit and wait on flights, delayed, and we'll sit and wait. But when we pray to God and he never says, I'm going to come at this particular time, he says, I'm going to come at the right time, the appointed time. All we have to do is trust. We have the hardest time doing that, just waiting on him. One thing I learned, and I'm pretty sure you have too, is when we wait on him, I don't want anything that's not done in his time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you probably know, and you've seen too, I had my first kid. And it's so funny, you know, I had her a little bit early. Now, granted, she was still fine. She was great, actually, to be exact, but there's certain things that happen when things come early. And so all I know is when I want God to bless me, I want him to do it in his appointed time.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's so awesome. You know, when we take a look at, you know, you teaching these young men the game of basketball, I know because I know and have watched you, but I want you to talk a little bit about how you also use basketball as a ministry to lead those young men outside of the lines. What are some of the things that you do to promote them being men and to make them ready when they leave your helm at Alcorn?
I think one of the biggest things I talk to them about all the time is just, you know, treat people the right way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just being nice to people, treating people the right way, you know, doing the right thing. I'm very big on just, you know, treating people with kindness, and treating people the right way. And just, you know, always stand on, you know, what you believe in. That's one of the biggest things for me. You know, I try to give these guys different scenarios about, you know, when I was in college and some of the decisions that I made and some of the decisions that, you know, you can learn from. Because like you said, Chelsea, you know, me and you came to Livingstone together. We both was freshmen at the mm-hmm. time. And you were a very, very fierce competitor when you got on that court. I mean, you were mean and tough when you got on that court. But when you was off the court, you was the sweetest girl on campus. But when you was on that court, when you got between those four lines, you used to play with so much passion and intensity. And so, you know, that's what I try to instill in my guys. Mm-hmm. When we get between these four lines, you know, we got to roll up our sleeves and we got to be a different type of beast.
Mm-hmm.
But off the court, you could be the nicest guy. You could be, you know, very kind to people. Mm-hmm. Just do things the right way. Always just, you know, have joy in your heart and things like that. Like, you know, my mom always told me, you know, you treat the president like you treat the janitor.
Come on,
you know?
Now.
So, because at the end of the day, you never know who's watching you. You know, you never know what like relationships and things that could be built up as far as in your career. You don't want to burn bridges. But just, you know, just being kind and having joy in your heart and, you know, not mistreating people. I'm very big on that with my student athletes, continue to talk to them about, you know, things that, you know, that I had to learn from in my college days, just growing up. And hopefully sharing some of the experience that I had helped them moving forward.
And I think that's golden, you know, and truly we both were that way, right? Well, you do. Off the court, y'all, he was the same way. Cool, calm, collected. But when you're right. When you get between them lines, it's like, no, it's a totally different aspect. But that's that time and place. But I think more than anything, you said it best, you know, just treat people right. I don't care what your title, your position is. I'm always reminded, a servant leader came on months past and they spoke of this commercial of this person who was coming for a job interview, right, in the store. And so they were just kind of dismissive because they were rushing. They're trying to get to the person that was supposed to give them this interview. And so this person was stuck in the shelves and was like, you know, how can I help you? They dismissed them. Oh, no, I don't need to see you. Need to see you. Well, come to find out, the person stuck in the shelves was also the person that was supposed to be interviewing them.
Mm.
It's just amazing. You know, I always keep that in mind, just like you said, you know, your mom taught you. You treat the president the same way you would the janitor, right? Because at the end of the day, everybody is somebody. And like I was saying this to Coach Jerry Porter, who's at Francis Marion. And I said, you know, it's amazing. It's hard sometimes, especially with those people that irk us. But we have to remember that that same person that may get on our nerves is God's child too.
Mm-hmm.
And when I continue Absolutely. To move that way, even when it's hard, I'm like, okay, you're his child too, and I must treat you the way that he wants.
Right. Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. Absolutely.
I love Absolutely. It. Speaking on our Livingstone days, right? And we talked about this a little bit beforehand, you know, I know Coach Stinson was your coach and you all still talk to this day, but, you know, I always talk to people about Coach Cabrera Huff at Voorhees. He always calls them your board of directors. You have people that have different things. I always like to say who occupies the seats at your table. And of course, as of recent and late, people have heard me talk about the meme I saw. It says, who are the pallbearers in your life? Like, who's holding you up as you climb the mountain, as you move forward? You know, and I want you to talk a little bit about that leadership, those people you can lean on that kind of help give you that godly advice, helps give you that mature advice athletically and as a man to help push you forward to success.
Definitely Coach Stinson is one of them. It's, you know, because I'm very big off of just trust. And, you know, he's a guy who recruited me coming out of high school and had the opportunity to go to Salisbury, North Carolina. And I was there for 2 years. And since then, we still have stayed in contact with each other. Even when I was at, you know, Xavier University, you know, he would still reach out to me, check on me, just making sure that I was mentally good. Because my dad passed away in 2008. And so he would, you know, check on me to make sure I'm still, you know, mentally good, making sure that everything is good. So he's a guy who pretty much if I have a hire or anybody in that North Carolina area or anybody that he knows as far as what I'm looking for, you know, a coach, whatever the case may be, I would definitely call him and get his input and insight on it as far as what do you think about this guy? So he's definitely a guy who has, you know, had played a huge part in my success here in my career and here at Alcorn. I also would say Byron Smith, former head coach. I mean, current head coach at Prairie View A&M University. Always, you know, call him, just, you know, get mentored about, you know, some of the things that, you know, having his early years as a head coach and early years is just life in general. And, you know, Danton Jackson's guy who I played for also at Xavier University of Louisiana. So, I have guys in my corner right now that I call for different things, guys who I call for, like, just different leadership and different advice, different, you know, trustworthy guys who I really trust in that's going to lead me in the right direction.
I think that's awesome, and I think that's important. You know, we have to make sure that we have the right leadership, right, to get that is getting us in that place. And I love it because – so often, sometimes we think we can do things in our own might, in our own power, right? God gives us this counsel, right? If we just lean on, we have to have the right people in our corner that's leading and counterpolling us forward. And I think that's amazing. You know, you talked about sometimes helping you with a hire and sometimes helping you with a recruit, right? And so this came to me, and it's funny because I was like, well, the next person that's going to be on is Landon, and he's just going to have to get this new question, right? And so it'll be new to you, but I think as a coach and as a man, it's going to be one that, you know, be just fine. But in my mind, you know, you think about as a coach, we have to recruit, right? And, you know, ideally, when you are out recruiting, what you're looking for. You spoke about that a little bit before, right? And so when you're looking for a recruit, what is it that you look for, right? I know you're talking about competing, but in terms of a person, when you look for that recruit, this is not a help recruit, I'm going somewhere with this. What are you looking for in that person as a man? When you're recruiting a young man to come to Alcorn?
I think it's simple. It's simple. You know, when you do a home visit and mom asks you to take out the trash and you say, yes, ma'am. Or mom asks you to take out the trash and you be like, okay. Mm-hmm. So if you're not showing your mom any respect, this lady who birthed you and raised you, there's no way you're going to show me any type of respect. Mm-hmm. So I think that just, you know, really dissecting and getting an understanding for the person, what they believe in, making sure our guidelines match up with each other, for one, seeing how they stand as far as academically, how strong they are. And then another thing, how talented they are on the court. But I think the biggest thing is just, you know, really just understanding their character, understand what type of character they are, understand, you know, like I said, we talked about foundation, see what the foundation they come from, see what their beliefs are. Because like I said, the biggest thing is you could go into a household and you could really make a decision and determine the fact within 10 minutes of how they treat their mom. How do they treat their sister? How do they treat, you know, their younger brother or their dad? If they're treating their parents and their family with no respect, I've only been knowing you for the last, you know, 3 to 6 months as far as me recruiting you. There's no way that you're going to come in my program and treat me with respect. If, you know, this person right here who raised you all your life, you don't respect them. So I think that's one of the biggest things that we talk about recruiting is just really understanding their foundation, sitting down, understanding, making sure that y'all guidelines and beliefs line up with each other. Taking a look at, you know, academically, see how strong they are academically. and then their talent on the court.
I think that's perfect. And I love how it was about the person before the game, right? Mm-hmm. Where I'm going with this is, and you did it perfect. Where I'm going with this is, what dropped in mind the other day, right? I tell people all the time, I'm a recruiter for Bryce. That's what we all are, right? And so it's funny because it's like, if that's what we're trying to do, do we know what we should be showing? And do we know what Christ is looking for? So now I'm gonna shift this gear for a moment. And if you consider Christ as a recruiter, what do you think he would be looking for in us as Christians?
I think he would just be looking for us to continue to just lead by example. What I mean mm-hmm. by that is just, you know, by modeling yourself in the right way. Like we talk about, just by being kind and being nice and just, of course, he's the almighty leader. But mm-hmm. for us to be just be good examples of, you know, what we are trying to lead these young men and women as, just by being just good role models and just by treating people kind, being nice to people. And that's what I honestly believe that that's what people want.
I think, and it's perfect, right? So you did great. That came into my mind the other day, and I laughed because I said, you know, I've talked to so many coaches and so many athletic professionals and even athletes on this podcast, right? And so often one of the things that can kind of throw us off is, how do I know what I'm looking for if it hasn't been defined for me? You know, I talk to my players all the time about what a coach is looking for, right? And I can tell you, I'll be like, oh, that's not it. You know, we quickly can examine what we think something should look like. And so it's like, well, we tell people, oh, well, and we've seen what has gone and transpired in the world the past couple of days, just the hate and what it caused to happen, so much violence because of the race of someone or the race of some group, right? And so it's like, oh, you know, the world should have this, we should have more speed. That's not what Christ would want. And so then I pondered the question, how many of us really show somebody what Christ wants? How many of us truly know what Christ is asking of us? And so, you know, of course, naturally, you were the guinea pig and you did great. But I think that that is an example that all of us could do. And you said it best, we have to model that, right? We have to actually model that. It's not so much about Bible beating or wearing a T-shirt, all that. It's when I walk every day, what do people see when I walk?
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I love it. You know, I can only imagine how busy your schedule is. You know, you came on, we were talking, and it was just like, girl, you know what I'm doing right now. This time of year, you know what all coaches doing. And I'm like, yep, I do, you know. And so I tell people, if you're a coach, you're always in season. The season mm-hmm. change, but you're always in season year round. And so, of course, naturally, you know, we do what we can. I'm pretty sure you got to get in the gym here and there to stay physically fit. I'm pretty sure that, you know, in order to stay mentally fit, we're doing, you know, things here and there to just kind of stay fresh and polished in your game as a coach. But I want to know, how do you stay spiritually fit? You know, a lot of times when I'm busy, I'm like, Lord, I forgot to do my devotion today. I forgot to. But what do you do in that small time to just kind of have your time with Christ, whether it be a prayer or devotion, listen to a podcast? What do you do to keep your iron sharp?
I think it's just more so prayer and reading different scriptures, you know, going to church on Sundays. But it's mainly just prayer. Just, you know, having your, you know, your one-on-one private conversation with the Lord. I mean, I think that's very big. So just to repent and just, you know, sit there and just have a conversation, you know, and just pray. And continue to just, you know, read your Bible and continue to just, you know, go to church. That's for me. Mm-hmm. That's for me. It's just more so, you know, prayer and just any, like, that's the thing about prayer. At any given time, you can just
come on now.
I can start praying.
Yeah, so, that's it.
You know, of course, you know, the best time is to sit down and go to churches on Sundays. But as far as prayer, anytime you're going through something, if it's positive, if it's negative, if it's growth or whatever the case may be, you can always just take some time out to pray.
I think that's golden. And I laugh because my kids always be talking like, Coach, man, let me get that 1v1. You know, I try to stay hip on the lingo. I've lost some days. I'm like, you're what? You know, 101, 1v1. I was like, see, y'all in that PlayStation or whatever. But that just came in my head when you were like, my one-on-one time with God. And that truly is that when you can get a 1v1 with God, it doesn't matter what time of day it is. And the more you talk to him, I tell people, it's just like a relationship of any sort, whether it's family, friendship, or even a relationship, right? Romantic relationship. The more you talk, the more time you spend, the better you get to know that person. The same thing goes true with Christ. It's not a rocket science. It's like, well, I don't know how to pray like that. It's a conversation.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I said, y'all probably don't want to come talk to me when I'm talking to Christ. You'd be like, you talk to him like that? Yes, I do. Right? We have a full conversation like I'm talking to you, Landon. I'm for real. And because he knows me and I'm his child. And one of the things I find, just like you said, there's sometimes that when during the day I can have that one-on-one with him, it just changes my whole spin of the day. Like my day could have been about to derail. And I'm just like, hold on, Lord, we need to have a one-on-one right now. And it changes the whole scope because I realize that I'm not the head.
Mm-hmm.
And I realize that it puts me back in the passenger seat. Like, who told you to drive? That's your problem. You started driving, Chelsea. Get in the passenger seat. I got you.
Right.
I can have that conversation with him. It refocuses me.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah. That's strong right there.
It's the truth. And you know, and I think it's so funny because as coaches and as leaders, sometimes we get so caught up in our schedule and trying to help those that we lead that we have to realize we can take that leadership hat off in terms of trying to handle it when it comes with Christ. When we go before the throne of grace, we bow before his feet, we don't have to be coach. We don't have to be, all we have to be is his child. And that's a load off right there that I have learned to welcome in the course of my day.
Oh, yeah, it's definitely good just to take that, you know, that leadership hat off at times. Because, as you know, especially when you're a head coach, you're the lead. I'm the leader of this program. Anything that happens, good or bad, fall back on me. Mm-hmm. And to whereas though, when you're a child of God, you can take that leadership hat off and just sit back and relax. You don't have to be on edge. Because right now, for me, I'm always on edge as far as just want to continue to want this program to grow in a positive light, positive direction. So, and when you have 15 to 16 student athletes that you're over, anything that they do, a coach or anything that's positive or negative, it falls back on you. Mm-hmm. So when you have the opportunity just to take that head off and, of course, you're a child of God, you don't have to just be on the edge as far as being a leader, making sure this go right, making sure that go right. It just gives you like a breath of fresh air.
I mean, it does. And, you know, in those times, that breath of fresh air, it means a lot. And it is a huge exhale when life can, oh, my gosh, start feeling like you got 10,000 bricks on you, right? You know, in the course of a day, I was talking to somebody about this other day, in the course of a day, your life can change just with, you know, obstacles don't make appointments. I tell people all the time. They don't say, hey, Landon, how's tomorrow look around 3 so I can go ahead and give you your obstacle. That's not how nice, right? But we're not always going to be prepared for what's coming, right? But what my grandmother used to always tell me, my mom used to always tell me, she's like, baby girl, you got to keep a scripture in your heart. You got to stay so close to him and the word that when things happen, you ain't got to go running. You know me, I've always been a Florida girl. And so of course, transition to North Carolina, that was just a bit different, that cold and that snow, you know? And so, but being down here, it's always going to be a storm, especially right now in some form of fashion. And I tell people all the time and I laugh, I said, because of course, naturally we're so used to it though. People say a hurricane's coming and we're like, it's not going to be bad. And we wait till the last moment to try to prepare. And then we get caught slipping. But the same thing holds true as Christians, right? Especially in leadership. We have to make sure that even when things are good, we're still praying. Even when things are good, we're still leaning because we don't need to go trying to run and find and be ready when things come. You know, I always have scriptures or songs or certain quotes and things that I lean on in those moments. And so I want to know for you, when those moments come that are hard or where you just kind of feel a bit weary or, you know, the days get long and maybe the sleep kind of lessens, what are some of those either words or scriptures that you can kind of resemble behind, even if you can't remember exactly where they are, that helps you lean to kind of strengthen you to move forward?
Well, I think one of the biggest things for me is one thing that I would say that helped me turn this program around and what I had to do a better job. I put so much pressure on myself to be successful. Mm-hmm. I put pressure on myself. And so, you know, throughout my 2 years here, you know, like you said, the obstacle will come. And I'm sitting there trying to figure it out, put pressure on myself just to let this program be successful. Then I had to sit back and say, I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to let God take care of it. I'm going to sit back and let it play out and let God take care of it. And what that does for me is it takes pressure off of me. Mm-hmm. Where you know that you always, the God is always right there for you. And, you know, and that's one thing I had to do a better job of, you know, coming in and stop putting so much pressure on yourself to do this or do that. Like, you know, let it play out. Let God take care of it. Like, sit back, think about it, just pray on it. And, you know, as we talked about, I would say, I wrote one down for you, Romans 12. Okay. It said, do not conform to the pattern of this world.
Come on.
Be transformed by renewing of your mind. And so what I get out of that is, you know, don't submit to some of the things that go on in this world. Like, don't conform to that. You know, don't conform to, of course, everybody just, you know, social media this, social media that, and just the stuff that go on in this world now that can really, you know, transpire in your mind that that's how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Where we're not walking that faith, where it's okay. We see it every day. We see this on social media. We see this and we start to conform to certain things. And then, you know, you got to transform and renew your mind as far as the right, you know, foundation that you come from and the faith that you believe in. So that's just big for me, just not trying to get caught up in work, not trying to get caught up in my position, not trying to get caught up in just being successful when it's not my time. So that's one of the biggest things for me that I had to, you know, sit back and relax on. Because as you know, when you're a coach, you're a basketball player, whatever the case may be, you're a competitor. Mm-hmm. You want to win. You know, the reason why I was granted this opportunity to be the head coach of Alcorn is to put this program back in championship form, and I'm a competitor. I want to win. Mm-hmm. Okay. But I also got to make sure I'm doing it the right way, that I'm leading these young men, leading this university and the men's basketball program in the right way. So I think that was the biggest thing, just about sitting back and just really stop putting so much pressure on myself as far as just being successful in life, period. Like, you know, let it play out. When your time is right, it's going to happen for you. Mm-hmm. And, but, you know, don't sit here and get caught up in this person is this age and this person has got this going for them. And this person is, don't conform to the world like that. You mm-hmm. know, sit back and just, you know, continue to believe and have faith.
That's so golden, especially in these times right now, right? Especially, you know, in this time of the season, right? You know, over the past couple of months, it's been like hiring and firing season. Right. It was the end of the year. So national basketball championships were going on, right? The professional, the NBA basketball championships were going on, hockey, all these things kind of come to a conclusion at the same time. And it is easy to do, right? It is easy to get caught up in paying attention to my peers and watching them win. And then of course you want to win and being able to isolate and recognize, like we said, even prior in this conversation, that God's timing is best. But I think that scripture is so spot on. Right. That if we can continue to do that, it kind of helps us stay centered and grounded. That, you know, I was looking at a video and it was so perfect. I sent it to my young ladies and it was just talking about when you do hard work. Right. And sometimes when you do hard work does not always result in a win. But it does not forsaken or it does not make the hard work any less important. Right. Sometimes when you do right and sometimes when you follow how he's telling you to lead it, the result is in the win right then, right? And then the other portion I tell my kids is you have to understand the definition of win in that moment. Sometimes it's not the actual global win that he wants you to have. Sometimes he wants you to learn something in that, right? And so I know we hear things that says not always losses, it's lessons. Sometimes there are losses and there's sometimes those lessons in the loss, they have to take place. Because if I won, I wouldn't have paid attention to what he wanted me to see. and what he wanted me to understand. So that was perfect.
Yeah, and I tell my guys all the time, I'd rather win the battle than the game. Because of course, sometimes, you know, that scoreboard, it could be misleading. It could be very misleading, but we won the battle. I mean, we outworked this team. We gained more than this team. It might not reflect it on the scoreboard, but we won this battle as far as our physicality, our toughness, you know, just what we was able to gain just by competing and fighting and things like that. So I'd rather win the battle than the numbers on the scoreboard. Now, of course you want to, you know, have success and get some reward behind it, but I would much rather win this battle. You know, because it's time this year to where as though we won the game, but we lost the battle. Mm-hmm. We just got our work. The guy, you know, we did not win this battle. We won the game. It's going to go on our record, but we didn't win this battle. We gained nothing out of this game right here. You know, we took two or three steps back, and we was headed in the right direction. And then, like we talked about early on, is that, you know, you have guys who drift off and start to want to do their own thing. And then when mm-hmm. you start to drift off to do their own thing, their success is not to where as though it was prior game. So you have to reel them back in. And even in practice, you know, it's a lot of times that throughout the year, we will have to go back to doing things that we did day one. Mm-hmm. So these guys should just remember that foundation. Where do you come from? What is this program built off of? So I think that's big. I mean, like I say, I much rather win the battle than the game.
That's so big. And I've never heard it that way, but I think it's so big because you can even apply that to our lives as Christians. We're so busy chasing the win, right? Mm-hmm. In life that I don't want to, Landon, I don't want to get to the place. It's like that scripture in Mark where it says, what profit a man to gain the whole wide world and lose his soul?
Mm-hmm.
He's so busy trying to get the next job and trying to, and not saying, please hear me, that person, listen, I'm not saying that that is not something you shouldn't aspire to. I just want to ensure that I don't let that override the battle, as you said. I don't to override what my end goal is, right? That's the whole reason why Christ gave this platform, that, you know, I don't lose the thought that everything that I do is to glorify him. And so sometimes I won't get that job title. Sometimes I get that win. But when I continue to win the battle, that allows me to continue to stay stretched and strong and ready when God is ready to move me to my next. And at the end of the day, when I need him, when I won the battle instead of chasing the win, that's my point where I don't hear, I know you not. I'm going to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. So I think that is perfect. Like I said, I circled that like four times over here. Seriously. I think it's golden. Like don't, sometimes we can't, we have to make sure it's not about the win. We want to win the battle. And I think that's golden.
Yeah, because like I said, sometimes you can go in the game and you can play the game and you can win the game, but you know, did you win with class?
Come on.
Did you treat, you know, the other team and the referees and or you know, or you could, like I said, you can lose, you know, the on the scoreboard, but you won the battle by just, you know, competing to the very last whistle, you know. Didn't win the game, but you learned a lot from this experience. You treated the referees and you was very had some sportsmanship with the other team and, you know, just having some type of, you know, dignity and some character behind you as far as when you step onto this court at the end of the day, like these people, the referees, these are people.
Yep.
These are people. Of course, it's a very competitive game. And of course, a lot of emotions get behind it. But you could win a game and just win with no class. You did not win today.
Mm-hmm.
Don't think just because this one game right here, it's just one game. It's one game. This is right here, but it can also, you know, how you act or how you treat people, this can stain you for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's just very big on just, you know, I'm just always trying to instill in my guys just by treating people the right way, by doing things the right way. No matter if we're on a basketball court, in the classroom, around campus, just off campus, just by treating people the right way.
Mm-hmm. I agree. You know, and I think sometimes that it's just like what you said, when you remember the bigger picture, right? I tell people all the time, I hear people talk about coaches of all different sports, all different levels, and say, yeah, but they don't win the right way. And that follows their name. Yeah, but they won, but it's, I don't want a but at the end of my success, right? Mm-hmm. I would rather win the right way, as you said. You know, I tell the girls all the time, all I want is your fight, right? I love the way you put it, but I just want to see that you fought. There's been some games that we have not won that I've been more proud of them than games that we won. And I'm like, y'all know we shouldn't have came out on top in this one. You know, mm-hmm. I think because that builds character, right? I think that, you know, that is exactly the whole goal when trying to raise and mentor these young people, is get them to understand what it's going to take when they, you know, march out into this world on their own. When no one's watching, what are you doing? When no one's holding your hand, what decisions will you make? And when all in life seems to be against you, will you still do things the right way?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's perfect.
Absolutely, it is. Absolutely. I 100% agree with you when it comes to that. You know, I talk to my guys all the time. I think, you know, character is really based off of what are you doing when no one is watching.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, trying to just, you know, continue to instill and recruit good, high character guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with me personally, I like to take a guy who I can help grow and develop. Yes. And I'm not going to just, you know, turn my back on a guy if I try to see that, if I kind of see that, you know, he has some gray areas, he needs room for an improvement. That's a challenge for me that, you know, help, you know, a young man grow and build up his character.
Mm-hmm. I think that's golden, because isn't that how Christ does us? Right? He says, come to me as you are. Not, hey, go
mm-hmm.
up. Hey, right. That you get to this point, then come holler at me. Nah, he says, come to me as you are. Right? And then I'm going to help you when you basically relinquish your hands off. You take your hands off. I always laugh. I said this the other day, but, you know, my daughter, Hendrix, I'll try to put her in her seat, and she always tries to grab hold to the straps. And then, of course, I'm like, well, Hendrix, that's not helping, because now I'm probably about to snap your hand in the buckle. Move your hands out of the way, and then I can help you. And then I laugh so hard at how Christ speaks to me in a way like, oh, so you're going to tell her that, and that's what I told you? You to take your hand off that situation, right? I told you that. And you somehow keep trying to take it back. You keep somehow trying to do it in your own might. So now, baby, take your hands off so you can help. Well, let me tell you this. Take your hands off so I can help you. And I love how Christ does us that way. I don't need you to do anything. The only thing I do is love me with everything you have and treat my people right, as you just said.
And right.
It's so perfect, because we make this Christian walk hard. I'm not saying that hard times don't come, but we make this Christian walk harder than it has to be. I'll say it that way,
mm-hmm.
right? Because he simply said that, y'all. Like, I tell people this all the time. I'm like, no, I hear all that, I read all that, and that's fine. But what I want y'all to do is pay attention to what we miss. He said, I need you to love me with all your heart and all your mind, all your soul, everything you got, love me first, and don't put nobody before me. Then I just want you to love my people. That's it. Love your neighbor as you would love yourself. That's it.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
So when we can do that, which is why I love how you described that in this whole conversation, we can do that. That begins to model the leadership he's asking us to be. Right? And so that moves me to this servant leadership portion, right? You know, it's amazing. We've been doing this for 2 years now. Started within the pandemic, and just as coaches, athletic professionals, and athletes, we're trying to realize, you know, how it is that Christ wants us to lead and serve. Like, we can't forget him. We can't forget to add him into the equation, right? Just because we become a brand, or just because we become the leader of this school or this program. And so, of course, naturally, as we begin to close up, there are two questions I have to give the servant leaders that are on the call in order to kind of enshrine you into the servant leader family. And the first one is basically going back to when I asked you about being spiritually fit, right? And so a lot of times my day does get long, as does yours. And so, you know, you have your one-on-one time with Christ, and so do I. And in that time, one of the things that I do is what I call my God is devotional, right? And so in that time, I just say God is, and I just continue to list off the things that he is to me, right? Because the days do get hard. And sometimes the task at hand does get hard. And sometimes even though we win the battle, we went through a lot before we, you know, but in that God is devotional, I'm reminded of who he is. And it kind of helps me to be able to stand. So in my devotional, I get to say a bunch, but of course, naturally with on this call, you only get one. So if I said God is, and I drew an imaginary blank, how would servant leader Landon Bussey fill that blank? God is what to you?
I would just say God is my leader.
Come on now. Yes. God
is my leader.
Come on, Landon.
Just try to follow, you know, his lead, you know, just follow behind. But yes, no, God is my leader, you know, in every step of life. Like I said, any decision I make is, you know, is going to be based off of his lead.
And isn't it amazing how when we learn, just like I tell my daughter and just like God reminds me, when we allow him to be the leader, how much easier it becomes?
Mm-hmm.
Like, why am I sitting here trying to figure it out when he already has it handled?
Right.
He worked it out, and I'm still over here trying to figure it out. You know,
that's what I said. This is me as far as just putting so much pressure on myself to be successful and putting more pressure on this program and not trying to be a failure, not trying to let so many people down. Mm-hmm. And I take some time off, man. It's already, God has already figured out, it's already been handled. You know, my job is to sit back and just to follow his lead. That's it.
That's it. And it's funny. I teach as well. And it's so funny. I remember we had always tried to make things fun and we were doing these equations and problems and it was like time, right? So it was almost like a answer relay. So I give you these questions and you have to work it out as a group and then bring me the answer first. And the answer has to be right. And so I'll never forget, the kid had already brought it to me. The team had one and the other one was still trying to work it out. And they were like, you know, the bruh, why are you still working on the problem? We already figured it out, right? And so that's how God looks. He's like, bruh, I worked it out. What are you doing? I've already worked it out and you still over here trying to look at him.
Right.
If I said, I wish I could see just for 2 seconds how God's facial expression is at me when I'm trying to do it.
Absolutely.
I know he's looking at me like, this girl, I know he is. And of course, this is the Servant Leader Coaches Bible Study, where servant leadership, much of what we talked about all day today, and much of what exudes through you as I watch you, as you explain, and as you coach your young men, but learning to lead and serve like Christ, learning to recognize that even though I had a program, like you said, God is my leader. But servant leadership takes on so many different definitions. But if I asked you, Servant Leader Landon Bussey, servant leadership, two words, but what does it mean to you?
Oof.
You know, I had to end with a bang.
Right. I think that it just, like I said, I think it just, to me, it just, like we talked about in the past, as far as just, when you're a head coach, you just always, it's always, no matter if it's a positive or negative light, you know, that servant leader, like you are the leader. Mm. And it's bigger than just basketball. It's just leading young men. So when I think of a servant leader, I think of a person who is just a model or role model that's in a situation or put in a position to shine light on this program, shine light on these student athletes, and then also being able to handle what comes to it. When you're a leader, like I said, you won't make everybody happy, but you have to do what's in the best interest of the program. You have to do what you believe in and what the Lord has guided you to do.
That's perfect. That's perfect. I had to get it all, right? I think, you know, it's more than anything, like we said, you know, we got to make sure that when Christ gives us something, we have to handle it right. You know, I never forget, I'll say this before we close out, I'll never forget getting these new pair of shoes when I was younger. You know, kids don't know nothing about shoes and anything like that, right? And I didn't realize what they were, right? They were Grant heels, okay? And the Carolina Blue Grant heels. And I went out with them in the rain. Now, I can promise you right now, if I had some retro Grant heels, I would be in the rain in them. But as a kid, I didn't recognize the value. I didn't recognize what my mom spent on those, right? And so I think so often as servant leaders, we don't recognize how heavy the weight, what God has entrusted in us to be the light. And I love how you said that, that he's asking us to be the light and to shine on the people that we lead. And sometimes that light gets heavy when we hold it, but it's the charge that he gave. And as that hymn says, it's the keep I have, a God to glorify. That's so good, man. Landon. Come on now. Landon, man, this has been great. I mean, I appreciate you so much. Even back then in our plan days, I've always thought the world of you, just, you were a light then. You really were, you know, growing up, like you said before, we're in college, you know how things go, but you still were that person. It didn't just start now where you treated people right, you know, you built up the light. And I thank you for continuing to do that because you're touching so many people, man, and you're helping those young men and you're being successful doing that. And I'm not surprised because of the person that you are. So thank you for coming on and chatting with me today. I really do appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Chelsea. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Now, of course, in true form, before you go, I got to cover you. So just bow your heads. If you're driving, don't do that. Just listen. But Heavenly right now, just for what we've seen and what we heard, we thank you, Lord God, just for your covering. I pray a special blessing right now for Coach Lynn and Bussy, Lord God. Be with him, Lord God, as he continues to lead your young men. Be with him, Lord God, as he continues to help grow more servant leaders, Lord God. Strengthen him where he's weak. Build him up where he's torn down, Lord God. I pray a special prayer right now, Lord God, of peace and unity, Lord God, within our world. So much hatred, Lord God, that's not of you, but help us to continue to exhibit what you are, Lord God, so we can continue to override the hate, Lord God. But most of all, help us to continue to be light so that those that may not know you can find you. In your son Jesus' name, we'll always pray. Amen.
Amen.
My favorite line of the podcast, servant leader, Landon Bussy, you're now part of the servant leader family.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. You know, it's always love. I appreciate you so much. If anything I can do, just let me know.
Absolutely. Thank you. Good talking to you.
Absolutely. We thank you guys for listening. We're going to see you guys next time.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.